To the Iowa Blog. I am your host, Craig Wynn. We are addressing the most important song ever written, the song whose lyrics will transform your life if you come to an appreciation as to what God had to say about the most interesting man in the world. The subject of the 89th Mizmor or Psalm is Dod, who was commonly known as David. His name means beloved. In this song, which was written 4 years after Dod's passing on his first of three lives, yes, you heard me correctly, Dod has already lived two lives and will return for a third, which is why he was called the Son of God three times by Yahweh, the only man to have that distinction. It's why he was anointed three times by Yahweh, the only man with that distinction. And in this psalm, the 89th, Dod is called the Son of God. He is called the Messiah. He is called the Chosen One. And most importantly, he is called the Zeruah, which is the sacrificial lamb, because he fulfilled Pesach, Matzah, and Bikurim in his second of three lives. Dod's first life was lived, culminating just shy of year 3000 Yah and 968 BCE. His second of three lives was lived in conjunction with year 4000 Yah, when in 33 CE he arrived, as he predicted, as Gabriel. Gabriel is from Gorbor El, and it means God's most competent and courageous man, fulfilled Pesach, Matzah, and Bikurim, making every child of the covenant immortal, perfecting us not only by opening heaven's door to allow us in, but by taking all of our guilt with him into Sheol and depositing it there, never to be seen again, during unyeasted bread, and then on firstborn children, Bikurim. Yahweh's Bikur, firstborn son, signed our adoption papers so that we could join him as part of Yahweh's covenant family. And in this vein, it is Yahweh himself in this song has already established Dod as the exemplar of the covenant, as the one through whom he enabled the covenant. So this, in our sixth part of what will be many more programs devoted to Dod's song, the 89th Mizmor, we are going to commence where we left off in our last program. And I'm going to share with you one of the most profound statements ever made by God in terms of its implications on your life. And what God has to tell you at this very moment in time about the single most important subject to him in all of the universe. Listen. Therefore, which is from Oz, meanwhile then, in revelation to this, speaking logically in the natural flow of events, you communicated with words, promising and declaring in a revelation, ba-cha-zon, prophetically, in a manner such that the intelligent would perceive what you're talking about by visually conveying an agreement to, on behalf of La, your Bakarim, your chosen and tested ones from Bakar, the ones selected, tried, and examined, preferred, and found acceptable. This rendering is from 4QPS, which is a designation afforded to its status among the Qumran scrolls. And it is presented there as Bakarim, as opposed to Chadisdi, which means faithful and devoted ones in the Masoretic text. So we have found the rabbis guilty of a copy edit, saying, I have equated and bestowed, Shawa, I have likened and offered assistance, supplying what is needed, is there, helping and aiding, thereby enabling, on behalf of the Gabor, the most courageous and capable of men, the mightiest of men, the strong and effective defender of his people, the valiant and brave fighter who battles to protect his nation. It is from Gabar, which means to prevail, to be powerful, to be mighty, to be strong, to prove one's valor, to be a champion for a virtuous cause, and Gabur, which are written exactly the same in the Hebrew text, which speaks of a strong man. This is why when I say that Gabriel, as it is presented in Daniel, speaks of God's most compassionate, courageous, and competent man. In fact, even in that text, he is specifically identified both times by Daniel as a man and not as an angel. Dod is Yahweh's foremost Gabor. I have raised and exalted the Bakar, the chosen one, from the people, the Am, the family. Mizmor, lyrics to be sung, Psalm 89:19. I'm going to read this now without the Hebrew so you get the full implication of what God is speaking about now that we've analyzed it word by word. Therefore, you spoke in a revelation to your Bakarim, your chosen and tested ones, saying, I have equated and bestowed assistance, supplying what is needed on behalf of the Gabor, the most courageous and capable man. I have raised and exalted the Bakar, the chosen one, from among the people. You are listening to one of Yahweh's Bakarim. Speak of the ultimate Bakar. And until I wrote the 35 books presented under Yahweh's brand and available free at yadaya.com, no one in 3,000 years had referred to Dod, David, as the Son of God. No one referred to him as the Messiah. And yet he was called the Son of God three times by Yahweh, and he was anointed by Yahweh three times, indicative of his three lives. No one referred to him as the Chosen One. And no one referred to him by his most important title, which is Zeruah. Zeruah tells us that Dod served as the sacrificial lamb and therefore fulfilled Pesach, Matzah, and Bikurim on his second of three lives. None of these things were known or heralded by anyone prior to Yahweh asking me to perform in this manner and enabling me with his seven spirits so that I might be able to share these truths with you. This collectively is the most important discovery ever known. And now you are the beneficiary. Therefore, Yahweh spoke in a revelation to his Bakarim, his chosen and tested ones. If you want to know why it's plural, not singular, it's because I will be joined by another. You've heard of this fellow before. Although he is called Elijah, his actual name is Eliah. His name means Yahweh is God. He's going to join me on the first of Abib in 2030, just 3.5 years before the Messiah and Son of God, Dod, returns with his father, Yahweh, on Yom Kippurim. And collectively, we are going to continue to speak to Yisrael and to the world about the importance of knowing who the Son of God actually is, who the actual Messiah is, and what he accomplished in year 4,000 Yod by fulfilling Pesach, Matzah, and Bikurim. That is what God is revealing in this prophetic statement, and it is profoundly important that the world understand it. He is saying that he equated and bestowed assistance. He offered assistance, supplying what was needed. Now, the purpose of this is to serve his Gabor. So Yahweh is supplying these chosen ones with what they need to assist and benefit and to enable his Gabor. Now, you would think the Gabor, the mightiest and the strongest, most courageous man of God, the most capable man of God, as the various term indicates, wouldn't need help, right? But here God himself is saying, I am going to choose men through whom I will equip on behalf of my Gabor. The reason is, Dode is the ultimate Gabor. The most capable, compassionate, and courageous man of God. His own people have ignored him. It's almost like what they have done to Yahweh, where they have erased his name. They've written him out of their lives. Back during the Exodus, they told Yahweh that they never wanted to see him again and never wanted to hear from him again. And nothing has changed much over the years. And with Dode, if you look at Jews, they first created a false Messiah with Jesus Christ. You know, Paul was the responsible party. He foisted a crude counterfeit of Dode on the world and named him Iesu Christu. And to counter that grotesque lie, Rabbi Akiva, in the Yobel year of 133 CE, did them one worse. And he announced that his Bar Kokhba, son of a star, was the Messiah. And of course, he lied. And so Jews have cultivated and foisted two false messiahs, both as counterfeits of the actual Messiah on the world. And the reason it's important to know that this occurred is for you to appreciate the truth, for you to recognize the truth, for you to capitalize on the realization that Dode is the Messiah, that Dode is the Son of God, that Dode is the Zeruah, the sacrificial lamb of Pesach, and the one who fulfilled matzah and bakudim, the one who, after opening the door to life on Pesach, allowed his soul on matzah to be burdened with our guilt so that he could carry it with his nefesh soul into Sheol and to deposit it there in the place of eternal separation, never to be seen again, making us perfect before God, which then enabled God to adopt us into his covenant family, to enrich us and empower us on Bukurim, with Dode being the firstborn of firstborn children. This is the truth. This is the single most important discovery ever made. This is the fountain of eternal life. This is the doorway to heaven. This is the key to understanding. And it was written 3,000 years ago, openly shared with the world, and yet everyone over the past 3,000 years until I wrote these books was ignorant of it, even his own people. What I'm sharing with you, you will find in the first volume of three volumes of the Coming Home series, this one named Cold, A Voice. I strongly encourage you to go to yadayah.com, where it is presented freely, and read it. It will transform your life. So God's saying, I have equated and bestowed assistance, supplying what is needed on behalf of the Gabor, the most courageous and capable man. The reason that God needed to equip these two men, the reason he chose these two men, on behalf of his Gabor is because his people had written him out of their lives because they had completely rejected the notion that he was the Son of God, that he was their Messiah, that he is the returning king, and that most importantly, as the Zeruah, he fulfilled Passover. And then serving the covenant family on matzah, leading to Bukurim. This truth was so buried under religious muck that for his people to wake up in time, God would need to empower and enable his two witnesses on behalf of this one man, the Gabor, because with this one man lays the fate of your soul and of every soul. He says, I have raised up and exalted, I have elevated and lifted on high, taking action to empower the Bakar, the chosen one, from my family and my people. This is the first line of the 89th Mizmor, which is extant among the scrolls found among the caves above Qumran and below Jerusalem. And in the text of the thousand-year-older Dead Sea Scroll, we find the plural and the singular of Bakar, a chosen and desired, tested and proven one. As a result, based upon his previous declaration, not only was there a connection between God's deliverance and protection on Teruah, which was the previous statement of mind-numbing declaration, prophetic declaration about the role that I've been asked to play to resolve the guilt of the remaining mortal remnant of Yisrael on Teruah in 6000 Yah, 2033 CE, 10 days before Dod's return. And the realization that Dod is the Kodesh, the set-apart one of Yisrael, our Malekan king, who I serve. It logically followed that God should make a corresponding revelation regarding those he had chosen to prove this realization and to share it with his people. And in this case, divine insight was how God assisted Dod, albeit aiding and abetting his Gabor's most capable and courageous man. Moreover, the Bashar, chosen one, the Gibor, Malek, Kadesh, are all one and the same. Dod is all of these things. It is Yahweh's decision to raise and exalt his son, Dod, from all of his people because of what they have accomplished together. Now, since we do not find Nabi in this text, it is implied this awesomely important insight was revealed through a witness rather than through prophets. Now, you might say, wait a minute, but you said it was going to be yourself. I'm clearly a witness, not a prophet. It would be ridiculous to have a prophet at this last date because there would be no way to validate any of the claims prophetically. When a witness is ideal because all of the prophetic claims regarding what is happening now, what's happened in the past, and what's going to transpire in the immediate future have all been laid out over the 1,000 years between the time the Torah was revealed and 1447 BCE and today. And you might say, wait a minute, but the other fellow, that's Elia. Clearly he was a prophet. Elia was and wasn't a prophet. Elia was a prophet in the sense he spoke for God. Elia was a prophet in the sense that what he accomplished when he debated and attacked and excoriated the religious and political culture of Israel was prophetic of precisely the role he's going to play 2 millennia, 888 years from that moment when he serves as the master of ceremony over another sacrificial bull. the Adama Para. When what is known as the red heifer is sacrificed on Teruah for the benefit of the mortal remnant of Yisrael that has been left behind. And that would make it prophetic of that event. But Elia was not a prophet in the sense of otherwise predicting the future or of leaving us with a written legacy that we can examine and compare to events that transpired much later to validate his credentials. And so he too will serve as a witness. The difference is that Elia is among the best known of all of Yahweh's witnesses because he had the gift of gab. Man could turn a phrase. He was hilarious, unbelievably sarcastic, so much so that of all of Yahweh's witnesses, all the people that spoke for him, Elia really tickled Yahweh's ears to the point that when it matters most, he's going to bring Elia back to perform in this role before the entire world. In an interesting twist, since rabbinic Jews, who are anything but devoted to Yah, refer to themselves as chassid, devoted and faithful ones, it is easy to see why they replaced Bakarim with chassidi. Little did they know that they would be caught and exposed. In contrast to the rabbinical scum, and by the way, I'm not being pejorative here, this is Yahweh's view of them, Dod is, by contrast, Yahweh's Gabor, most capable and courageous man. He had the strength to prevail, however, in part because Yahweh supported him. In the center of God's will and at his side, Dod was valiant, always willing to fight for what was right, willing to risk his life to defend his people. And it is this attitude that made it possible for Dod to serve as the Zeruah, a term that Yahweh has already used twice in this psalm, meaning sacrificial lamb, offering the life of his Bashar, mortal body, to save those amongst his people that would capitalize on what he accomplished during Passover, unyeasted bread, and firstborn children in year 4000 Yah, 33 CE. Now, as previously stated, Dod was mighty with the pen and with the sword. Clearly, he was not a pacifist. He did not compromise. He was not diplomatic. He was certainly not apologetic, at least towards other men. He knew right from wrong and would not tolerate any form of deception. He would be crucified in today's world for being politically incorrect and intolerant, just as he was crucified by the Romans for being incompatible with their immoral quest to abuse and subjugate others. I'm going to pause here just one moment. I want to speak to you about a remarkable Jewish man, Mark Zuckerberg, who is the founder and the lead shareholder of Meta that owns Facebook, made a decision just about a week ago and announced that he was calling off the thought police, that what were known as fact checkers, but were nothing but their bias enforcers of extreme libertard progressivism, have been removed. Facebook is now open to free speech when it was not before. And the fact that this happened 2 weeks after I began sharing Yahweh's words on Facebook, knowing that I had been banned from Facebook previously and would most certainly be banned again for telling you the truth, which was not to be tolerated by these liberal fact checkers, the thought police, the progressive Gestapo. All of that changed. And you know what it was that caused Mark Zuckerberg to grow a backbone and to do the right thing and to demonstrate character? The progressive candidate in the last election She and her cronies badgered him. They attacked him. They demanded that he present their side of the story and only their side of the story, and to censure anyone who would dare hold them accountable when their side of the story didn't match reality. And any time someone spoke on behalf of the other candidate, they wanted their voice to be sequestered. It was the arrogance and the desire for total control over speech by progressives that finally caused Mark Zuckerberg to say, no, this is wrong. I won't do it. Congratulations to you. Thank you for making Facebook a place where we can reveal Yahweh's face, where we can reveal Yahweh's presence, where we can reveal the face of the Messiah and the Son of God as he really is, the sacrificial lamb, as Dode, the beloved David. Thank you, Mark Zuckerberg, for making this possible. We appreciate you offering this platform in service to the God of Yisrael. Now, there are a similar number of uncommon insights in this next statement we're going to consider. First among them, Yahweh found Dode, not the other way around. People the world over are searching for God and yet never seem to find him, not just because they don't know where to look, but because they're too busy praying to listen, too enamored with their opinions to be observant. It never fails. When I meet somebody who claims to be genuinely interested in finding God, even when I have the answers they seek, they'd rather share what they believe than consider what Yahweh has to say. And speaking of what God had to say, this is now in Yahweh's voice. I discovered and then made known matzah. I located, found, revealed, exposed, encountered, and experienced, then sought to reap the benefit by inspiring Dode, the beloved. My Ibed co-worker, my authorized agent who works on my behalf. It is from Abad, meaning to work, out of Shemen Kodesh Ani. My set-apart oil, my separating, devoting, preparing olive oil. I have dedicated him to service. I have Mashach anointed him so that to show the way to the benefits of the relationship, Asher, my hand will be established and steadfast with you. You coming to us, Imata, in association with you, also from 4QPS, which changes him in the Masoretic text to you. And I'll explain why God said you, not him. Mizmor, lyric to be sung, Psalm 89:21 in part. So Yahweh is saying something that is profoundly important if we want to have a relationship with him. He says, I discovered and then made known. Now, Yahweh, in almost all cases where we come to see someone who works with him in a profound way, reached out to find the person he wanted to work with, and then he made them known to us. One of the great examples of this would be Noach. Noach wasn't living the high life as potentate of some community in the foothills of Mount Ararat. No. God found him out in the boonies. He was the fellow that said, I don't want any part of that religious, that political, that vicious community. I don't want any part of it. I'm going off and I'm going to take my family and we're going to be on our own, and this made it possible for Yahweh to reach out to him, made it possible for him to listen to what Yahweh had to say. It made it possible for him to do as what God had to say. This other fellow, you may have heard of him, Moshe. Moshe was out tending sheep in Arabia. He was an 80-year-old shepherd with a speech impediment. And what must have been the worst land in the world for shepherding, if you've looked at the area around Mount Chorab in Western Arabia. God nonetheless introduced himself to Moshe. Moshe is the fellow who had left the politicized and religiosity and the caste system economics, the militancy of Egypt, recognizing that those things were terrible. And so he disassociated from religion and politics. Out shepherding sheep. That's when Yahweh reached out to him. And in between those two fellows, there's another guy you may have heard of before. His name was Abraham. He had a beautiful wife named Sarah. What was his story? Do you know the commonality? Do you know the common link between these individuals, including Dodd, who was out tending sheep in Bethlehem at 8 years old when Yahweh found him? Long way away from his father, not near his father, as were all of the other sons of Jesse. Yeah, Abraham. He's the fellow that made the decision to walk away from Babylon, the most religious and political place on earth at the time, the place from which really all religions seem to have emerged, the place where religion and governance were integrated, a place whose name, Babel, means to confound and confuse by commingling and mixing together. He walked away, as did Sarah. And it was only after they had walked away from religion and politics that Yahweh introduced himself to them. This then is the same story of Dodd. Yahweh discovered him, and then he made him known. Dodd is the name. Dodd is the name that is emblazoned in Dodd's song, the 89th Mizmor. All of the accolades, all of the achievements, all of Yahweh's praise for this unique man falls under a single name. Dodd, the man known as David. And therefore, there is a zero possibility that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, that Jesus Christ was the Savior. None. Yahweh says it's Dodd. And Yahweh is the one who matters, since he just so happens to be God Almighty. Yes, I am opposed to Christianity. I've written 5 books, absolutely tearing the religion up, proving using its own scriptures that it is completely false and that Jesus Christ is nothing but a crude counterfeit of Dodd. Yes, I did so because they piled their manure right on top of the truth to obscure it. And it has to be cleared away for people to recognize they're really is a Son of God. There really is Messiah. There really is a Savior who fulfilled Passover. And his name is Dodd. He is our returning King. And he is the one who will return on Yom Kippurim in year 6000, yeah, which is 2033. Oh, that's another thing, Jews. Maimonides got everything wrong. He based his calendar off the sanctification of the moon and the number 19, it was nothing but gobbledygook. It is completely untrue. Rather than basing it on the Torah, rather than basing it on what the prophets revealed and as things were fulfilled, where you can easily deduce the most important time in human history relative to our redemption, he was out there in La La Land. Yes, year 6000, Yahs, 2033. We are just 8.5 years from that date. And this is when Dode is returning. Dode, David, is Yahweh's Ebed co-worker. This is the second time we've been told that in this Mizmor already. Yahweh always works through people. Look at Abraham and the presentation of the covenant, its conditions and its benefits. Look at Moshe and the revelation of the Torah. Look at Noah and saving. The one family that knew Yahweh and the animals around the Black Sea where this flood transpired. Look at Dode, through whom he saved humankind. Yahweh always works through people. The two most important co-workers of Yahweh are Moshe and Dode. Then Yahweh wants you to know that this fascination with the world's most popular religion, whose founder Yahweh specifically calls out by name and calls Shaul, Paul, the plague of death, that their notion that this crude counterfeit is the Messiah, the Christ, is absolute rubbish. It is out of Yahweh's Shemen Kodesh Ani, my set apart oil, my separating and devoting, preparing olive oil, that he dedicated Dode as Messiah, the anointed. Well, that pretty much destroys the basis of rabbinic Judaism and Christianity. Goodbye. Adios. In this Mizmor alone, Yahweh, in his tribute to his beloved son, Dode, made all of these proclamations about him, including calling Dode the one that he anointed, not the crude counterfeit. And so that we are clear, without Christianity, counterfeiting through replacement foolology, the accolades and achievements of Dode, there is no rabbinic Judaism, because Rabbi Akiva foisted his false messiah, Bar Kokhba, on the world to counter the influence of the Christian myth. And had there been no rabbinic Judaism, there would have been no Talmud. And without the Talmud, there is no Islam. The majority of the Islamic Quran is based upon bastardized recitals of the Babylonian Talmud. It was Jews and Jewish rabbis who sold Muhammad the material he used to flesh out the Quran. And it is when they mocked him for attributing a ridiculously twisted and perverted, bastardized version of the stories they had read to him, to Allah, Muhammad, who had paid them for these recitals, turned against them and knew that if he did not exterminate them, they would expose him and Islam would be gone. His ruse would be over. And so Muhammad turned on the Jews and perpetrated genocide on Arabian Jews. That's the story. I wish it were not so. But it doesn't change the facts. And these are facts that I prove in the five volumes of Goddamn Religion, which is the most comprehensive, chronological, contextual, complete, and undeniable excoriation of the religion of Islam ever written. It's 4,200 pages based entirely on the Islamic scriptures and using the words of Allah and Muhammad against them. I did so because this religion was conceived to annihilate Jews. And in a desire to protect God's people so that they might join me, not only in the Shabuah harvest and Teruah harvest, but also as the surviving remnant that awaits Dode's return as the Messiah and King of the world. On Yom Kippurim, October 2nd, 6:22 p.m., 2033. For you to survive the onslaught of Islam, you must know your enemy, the enemy that declared war on you 1,400 years ago. So out of my Shemen Kodesh Ani, my set apart olive oil, I have Mashach, anointed him, so that to show the way to the benefits of the relationship, Asher, my hand will be established and steadfast with you. You see, this is something that is just amazing that people don't get. Just as Yahweh did not choose myself and Elia for our benefit, but for your benefit. He did not anoint Dod for Dod's benefit, but for your benefit. He is the Mashiach for you, the one who was anointed and set apart in service to Yehudim and Yisrael and the covenant family on behalf of Almighty God. That's why it says you. Are you listening? Will you capitalize on what you're learning? Now, by stating that he made Dod known to us, Yahweh is taking credit for the accounts of his life and the copies of his Psalms that have been made available to us to read 3,000 years after they were first chronicled and composed. No other 11th century BCE life 3,000 years ago is as contemporaneously or voluminously documented, not by a huge degree. Therefore, we should be asking ourselves, why is this so? Why did God intervene in human affairs in this way, at this time, in this place, for this man? If you know the answer, then you likely know that Yahweh is God, that Israel represents his people, and that Dod is the Messiah, Son of God, and Passover Lamb. We have more written about Dod and by Dod than we can process in a lifetime, all preserved in the original language, verified and proven credible with copious prophecies, conscientiously maintained, and even extant among the Dead Sea Scrolls, parchments sealed in ceramics found less than 20 miles from the place where they were first composed. And there are more scrolls devoted to Dod's Psalms than any other text found in Qumran. Second would be the great prophet who speaks of him and of my role in announcing him, both his return and his accomplishments and accolades, Yeshayah, Isaiah. By calling Dod his Ebed, co-worker, God is giving us the opportunity to understand what he values and what he wants to accomplish. All we have to do is examine his life and consider his lyrics. That is why the three volumes of Coming Home exist. They are an in-depth analysis of Dod's Psalms and set his life into the context of Yahweh's overall plan with us. Highlights of this search reveal that Yahweh wants us to call him by name and to then relate to him as we would a loving father. He wants us to listen and learn from him, to share what we have come to know about him, to become part of his covenant family, to appreciate what he values, and to oppose what he disdains, which is religion and politics, militancy and conspiracy, fighting to protect his people. We're striving to be right. God is attracted to intelligence and to character. He loves passion and prizes reliability. Those who are not afraid to tell the truth, even when the truth is not popular. By referring to Dod as the one who works on my behalf, Yahweh is reaffirming his predilection to accomplish what needs to be done with us and through us rather than alone. This remarkable fact reinforces Yahweh's commitment to empower and enrich his children by being personally involved in our lives. And on this occasion, Yahweh's announcing that he did something remarkable for Dodd that he has not done for anyone else. Out of my set-apart oil, I have anointed him. Should this be the oil of enlightenment, of longevity, of healing, of protection, of nourishment, or preparation for service? May you and I benefit from future allocations of it, and may we capitalize upon it with all the passion and courage Dodd manifest. That said, the Shemen Kodesh Ane, my set-apart anointing oil, isn't describing the application of olive oil on Dodd, although this occurred at Yahweh's direction three times. It actually speaks of Dodd being immersed in the Ruach Kodesh, in the set-apart spirit, when he was initially introduced by Yahweh as his Mashiach, anointed Messiah, at 8 years of age. In conjunction with God explaining that his criteria for determining who he prefers to work with and how that differs markedly from mankind's criterion, Yahweh explained the process of anointing Dodd in conjunction with being immersed in the Ruach, our spiritual mother, causing Dodd at that moment to become Yahweh's son. Something that was tangibly reinforced with the three statements that Yahweh made regarding him, where he specifically announces that Dodd is his son and that he is his father, all coinciding with the great prophetic declaration also devoted to Dodd, naming Dodd specifically in Yeshaya, Isaiah 9, where God says that Dodd is the son who he gave to us. There is one thing we should never do, and that is ignore what God has done, or worse, try to take this from the man he chose and give it to another. Yahweh chose to personally anoint Dodd his Mashiach, Messiah. It was God's decision, and we should respect it, appreciate it, accept it, and embrace it, capitalizing upon it by reading his 119th Mizmor, his magnum opus on how to properly observe Yahweh's Torah teaching, as well as Dodd's having volunteered to fulfill Pesach, Matzah, and Bekodim. Now, beyond the fact that the decision to choose Dodd, to call Dodd his beloved son, to anoint Dodd as the Mashiach, and to allow his son to fulfill Passover, unyeasted bread, and firstborn children, that decision was Yahweh's. And without him, we don't exist. He didn't do this for Dodd's benefit, but instead for ours. By preparing the Messiah to serve in this way, God's influence and our lives was established and authenticated, becoming steadfast and unwavering, as the lyrics of this and every other Mizmor. Our Heavenly Father's instructions are collective, and to the whole of Yisrael in the Torah. But in Dodd's songs, it's all personal. The Torah is the map, and Dodd is the guide. Even in the Torah, when the Torah speaks, as Moshe did in Devarim 18, and he says that one is coming like me, out of your midst, you know, a prophet. That whole presentation, that whole prophecy is devoted to this singular man, to Dodd. And in the fourth day of creation, when Yahweh talks about the two luminaries, the greater and lesser luminary, that would help you understand the timing and the purpose of the Moed, these seven annual meetings of the restoring witness to meet with our Maker. The greater luminary is Dod, and the lesser luminary reflecting his life is the chosen one that Yahweh refers to in the previous statement. We have long since come to realize that Yahweh chose a shepherd to serve as his Zeruah, sacrificial lamb, that he would protect God's flock while sowing the seeds of truth, such that we would come to appreciate the benefit of him having done so. It is the greatest gift ever offered. Those who capitalize upon what Father and Son have accomplished will live forever. They are perfected based upon Dod's soul carrying our guilt with him into Sheol to deposit it there, never to be seen again. And then because of Kippurim, we're the firstborn son, fulfilled firstborn children, we are adopted into Yahweh's Bereth covenant family. And so, while Dod's most famous title is Melech King, and his most purloined title is Mashiach Messiah, and, well, Ben-El, Son of God, his most important will forever be Zeruah, the sacrificial lamb. I'm going to share this next line with you, and then we're going to conclude this program, part six of Dod's song, and we will return to this very line in part seven. But I want to leave you lingering on a feast for the mind, for the heart, and the soul. Yahweh, the creator God of the universe, the father of our Messiah and King, said, in addition, Ani Zeruah, my protective shepherd, strong arm, and sacrificial lamb, even the one who cultivates the seeds for a fruitful harvest, Zeruah Ani, will empower and embolden you, strengthening you while enabling your growth. Mizmor, lyrics to sing, Psalm 89:21. And as I leave you with these words, I want you to think about the three Zeruah and the role each of the three plays in helping us become part of Yahweh's covenant family, where God has the opportunity to enrich and empower us as his children. Well, that's the end of our program at part six of Dod's song. This is the Yahweh blog, and I am Yada, your host, Craig Wynn.